Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Hello and happy Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are on location this morning, and not just any location. The good news is if I forget at any point, I can just look ahead, and I will see in giant letters emblazoned in the grandstands, Kansas Speedway. If at any point, Rudy, I forget, just give me a little elbow. I'll probably figure it out. I am Joshua Briscoe. Oh, that's the wrong direction. I'm Joshua Briscoe. That's Rudy Salazar. We are live here from the Kansas Speedway for the American Royal Barbecue. So much going on out here throughout the rest of the day. An incredible weekend for barbecue in Kansas City. And if you have not made your way out here yet, just this year or certainly at any point, no better time to do it than right now. The smells around here at this point are, I'm going to say rude, because I can't eat anything while I'm talking on the radio. It's at least frowned upon, and I'm probably not going to do that at any point today as we broadcast live here from the main stage. So again, we are literally like, we passed everything. Passed pit row. We passed victory lane. We can see the slopes of the track in front of us right now, and seriously, just a short walk away from the outside wall right up against the grandstand. It's truly an incredible spectacle every year out here as a celebration of the American Royal, a celebration of barbecue, a celebration of getting together outside to do something. Obviously didn't have it last year, and this year was the return of the American Royal Barbecue out here at Kansas Speedway. And Marco Marquez back at the station as well. So a little three-man weave between myself, Rudy, and Marco. And again, I can't encourage you enough to come check out everything out here, especially if you've not made it out here in years past. A very, very cool setup that is worth attending if you're looking for something else to add to your weekend in here in Kansas City.
Plus barbecue.
I mean it's just barbecue. Barbecue. If you drive by the Speedway, you will be able to smell it if you roll your windows down. I was sort of saying that as a joke, and then I realized I probably was serious.
Walk around, ask people for some barbecue. You're going to get some barbecue.
If you walk around here with bring a styrofoam plate.
Bring an empty plate.
Bring a pillowcase, an empty pillowcase, like you're trick-or-treating, and you're really going for the big haul, and just walk around and just sort of hold it out in front of people that they may have barbecue, and you're going to have some of the most delicious food you've ever had in your life. They'll probably also provide the plate. And I'm saying that you can just walk with just your barbecue-crusted hands out.
Hey, we're not animals. We got forks. You just don't need a plate.
I think just hold your hand out. If you try to eat a rib with a fork, you have to leave. Security will take you out if you. I don't mean escort you out. I mean that there's snipers with trank darts all over the place if they see you try to eat a rib with a fork. That part is not true. At least as far as I know, I haven't tried yet this week. So, I'm getting a little noise. Is that a good idea there, Rudy? I don't want to rob the people of our dulcet tones. So it's a high wire act as we get to broadcast from the main stage here. Earlier they were doing the sound check because the band starts at 12:15 right after we get done with the show today. And they were also testing out some pyrotechnics. And I think I had the best idea I've ever had in my entire life.
Yes.
So, you know, first of all, bringing lights and general pyrotechnics into sports talk radio, we can all agree it's time. We can all agree that needs to be a part of the future of sports talk radio.
We've waited long. We've waited long enough.
We've waited too long.
It's time.
It's time. Here's my suggestion. And I want to say this in copyright. I want to say this now.
TM.
Because if anyone else takes this, I want to be able to take legal action. If I want to have a button that if I deliver a super flaming, blazing hot take, I get to hit that button and smoke machines shoot up into the air. Red lights start flashing around.
Smoke shoots up in the air. I don't think we want the machines themselves.
Great point. Great note by you, Rudy. I'm so glad to have you to help filter my ideas out because that could have really injured somebody.
Somebody could get hurt. Mostly just probably you.
Probably me.
We don't need that.
I want the fog shooting into the studio. I want the flashing red lights. If it's a really good take, maybe we bring in sparklers and straight up just fire. I think that one I'm probably going to end up getting vetoed at some point.
Maybe.
But like a smallish smoke machine.
Yeah.
I think we should be able to make that happen.
Here's the thing.
Especially if we're broadcasting outside. At that point, it's a no-brainer.
There's a good...
Somebody bring me the button for the pyrotechnics. Please don't. No one do that.
I'm like 80% positive. I actually know where a smoke machine and the liquid's at in the studio. Like within the
station. At 810?
At 810.
Wow. I think we have a fog machine at home, actually. Yeah. I could do a BYO FM.
We could make this work.
I really think that this is a future that we need to invest in. I think this is where the medium is headed. And whenever somebody else steals this idea in the next 6 months, you'll know that it started on a special edition of Sports Saturday.
You'll know.
So not only is it, of course, a wonderful college football weekend and a wonderful weekend for barbecue, I'm going to tell you up front, we're going to spend a majority of the rest of today's show here, just here for an hour. We're here for a good time, not a long time, but plenty of time to talk about Chiefs-Ravens on Sunday Night Football. I'll be back again right before the game for an extra little pregame show in addition to the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show with Seren Petro, Mark Boerichter, Curtis Seibold, the whole gang there.
I left the station last night. Chris was still there working on pregame.
What time was that?
Oh, 10:30?
He might have been there for four more hours.
Yeah. Curtis puts in the work on the pregame show.
That is true. So the pregame show will start in the morning. We'll have action throughout the day. I'll be back to do a little extra pregame for the hour or so leading up to kickoff and then back for postgame as well. So we're going to have plenty of time to unpack this game both before and after it actually happens. But there are a few things right now that I think make this game so interesting. And maybe the most interesting thing is that the line on this game has stayed around 3.5 to even 4.5 points. I have yet to find a person, Kansas City, of course, but even nationally, to say, you know what? I actually think that the Ravens are going to win this game. And I'm not going to say that today because I'm not going to get the pyrotechnics, so it's not worth it. But it's kind of wild that even though we're talking about a game that is between two, at this point, I think it's been true long enough, sort of perennial AFC Super Bowl contenders. This is the fourth meeting in 4 years for the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Each team has an MVP quarterback. I think that makes you, if you have an MVP caliber quarterback, you are a Super Bowl contender.
MVP quarterback, excellent head coach.
Yep.
Defenses that have put out, you know, the Ravens, I think, are probably riding off of their reputation a little bit.
A little.
Perhaps the Chiefs' defense has been a little bit underrated. But it's all, you know, teams that you would think would be relatively evenly matched. Mm-hmm. But not only have the Chiefs won all three of these games over these last 3 years, which is, you know, kind of a funny wrinkle for something that I think I do think that you can call this a rivalry, but you have to acknowledge that it's a very one-sided one at this point.
Yeah.
Because for it to be a good rivalry, at least, the other team's got to win eventually, and the Ravens haven't yet. And so that's sort of column one. Column two is, again, this is a field goal, again, 3.5-ish point game in Vegas, mm-hmm. which I mention only because it's not like this is are the Texans playing the Browns this week? I mean, that game's like 12.5 or something.
Cleveland is playing the Texans.
I'm rapidly becoming a degenerate, by the way, if you haven't noticed. But, like, this isn't a 12.5 point game. We're talking about 3.5.
Yeah.
Vegas doesn't think it's going to be a blowout. But I can't find anybody who thinks that the Ravens are actually going to win this game, which is also obviously compounded by, I think, one very obvious thing and then what maybe one slightly less obvious thing. The obvious thing is that the Ravens have been brutalized by injuries, and the Chiefs are pretty healthy. I say pretty because everybody who's on the active roster was a full participant in practice yesterday, and I think this entire week, actually, which includes Frank Clark, who is set to make his 2021 debut. It includes Tyrann Mathieu, set to make his 2021 debut. Does not include Willie Gay Jr. They are still going to be running a little bit shorthanded with the linebackers, but he's on IR. So everyone on the active roster actually practiced fully. Here's what the Ravens are carrying right now. Running back J.K. Dobbins, IR. Running back Gus Edwards, IR. Running back Justice Hill, IR. Wide receiver Rashad Bateman, IR, but probably not season-ending. The other guys, season-ending ones. Wide receiver Miles Boykin, hamstring. Tackle Ronnie Stanley, ankle. Which means that Alejandro Villanueva, who for some Chiefs fans, by the way, I got to give a shout-out to Jordan Foote for making this point to me.
Yeah.
A lot of Chiefs fans are like, eh, meh, bleh, just, what is it, feh, it's feh, is the,
Oh, feh.
Is that Mad Dog Russo, I think it was?
Oh, well, I think, wasn't it a, it was a Boston radio guy, wasn't it?
I think you're right,
I think
actually.
It was a Boston radio guy. I went, ah, feh.
Indiscernible. Some Chiefs fans are saying, all right, you can't figure out your left tackle situation.
Is it Christian
Fourier? Maybe. I don't know.
I think it was his show. I don't know if it was him.
Plenty of Chiefs fans. Plenty. Not at all.
He's been on our show.
One of the few enemies of the show, I think. We did not get along. Plenty of Chiefs fans said, go ahead and just sign Alejandro Villanueva, plug him in at one of those tackle spots, maybe also draft somebody. Can you just go Mike Rimmers, Lucas Niang on the right side, Villanueva on the left side? Let me let you in on a little secret. Ronnie Stanley, clearly he was injured in week one playing left tackle. He was not very good. Alejandro Villanueva in week one was bad. He was ungood at right tackle. He will be moving to left tackle for this game tomorrow night to go up against the return of Frank Clark and Chris Jones spending most of his time on the edge. Because Ronnie Stanley, now he's out with an ankle injury. Guard Tyree Phillips is out with a knee. Cornerback Marcus Peters, hurts my heart, torn ACL, out for the year. Cornerback Chris Westry, just is he really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Just tore his meniscus. They're going to be missing two of their corners. He played a good amount of snaps in week one.
Chris Westry, too, is I know more about him than most corners in the NFL because he was at Kentucky. He was a four-year starter. He was a freshman All-American. Dude's 6'4". He's a big corner.
Wow.
He is a big, big corner.
So you know what he can do and what Marcus Peters can do? Mm-hmm. He can help if you're a defense. They can let you play man defense.
You remember Sean Smith?
I do.
Chris Westry is a lot of like Sean Smith.
I
Not
do
really
Sean
a ball
Smith.
Hawk.
Yeah.
But good, you know.
He's going to make your life difficult if you're a receiver.
He's good, you know, and they're both obviously very big.
Those guys would be the reasons that this is going to spin. That's part one, okay, of why this game is trending the way that it is in my mind. To pivot to part two here, having Marcus Peters, having Chris Westry, whatever, those are guys that allow you to somewhat confidently, and this is still tough against the Chiefs, Marlon Humphrey obviously is excellent at this. He's only one man.
Truly great.
To somewhat confidently play man coverage against the Chiefs.
Marcus Peters is, if you're going, we talked about this many times, right? If you're going to beat the Chiefs in for good teams, you need to make, you need to make plays. Marcus Peters is one of the few guys in the NFL.
Yeah, true, good
who
point.
Who could maybe, obviously stop Mahomes, but make plays on him that
he's changed picked him off.
He's picked him off.
He's done it.
Like
he's done it.
I know people here don't like him.
Okay. They're wrong. It's okay.
He's the type of player.
You can be wrong and not like Michael. It's all right.
He's one of the few players in the NFL who can have as big of an impact against the Chiefs as there are.
A genuine playmaker and a guy who can be out there in Wink Martindale's defense to play some press man, to play some man coverage that does not let the Chiefs float you into a zone where Travis Kelce is always open.
Yep.
Again, Marlon Humphrey's only one man.
Really good.
I don't even know. Here's the thing. I don't think you can cover Travis Kelce. Mm-mm. I don't think you can single-handedly cover Tyreek Hill. Mm-mm. So you're probably using him on Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, whatever. Well, at that point, the Ravens, maybe their biggest weapon defensively, is now stopping an element of the Chiefs' defense that you're not that worried about.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' offense, that is. Now, maybe you have him give you a leg up against Tyreek Hill and try to give him a little help. I think that would make a lot of sense. But here's the other issue. And I wrote this way in the Google Doc, and I'm going to go ahead and just say it in the dramatic, pun-influenced way that I must. Will Wink blink? This is the question. Wink Martindale is the defensive coordinator of the Ravens. And I'm asking if he'll blink because this dude loves to blitz. Mm-hmm. He loves to blitz. He's not afraid of a cover zero, which means no safety help behind. He's saying, you guys are going to man up. literally and figuratively, yep. perhaps. But I mean it in the very literal sense of, like, you are going to play some man. We're gonna play some cover zero. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Queen, you better get home. You better get to Patrick Mahomes. Because otherwise, we are not going to have a whole lot of time that these corners can hang on. And they did that against the Ravens on Monday night last week, or against the Raiders on Monday night last week, in a way that didn't really work.
Yeah.
Now, I think they targeted Darren Waller 19 times in this game,
oh,
which is crazy.
That is an absurd number to hear.
19 targets for Darren Waller, and they only completed 10 of them. You got a couple of nice receptions from Brian Edwards, who I learned about on Monday. Hunter Renfro. It's unbelievable that you just know where everyone played college. They tried to get
Hunter
to Henry
Renfro,
Ruggs.
Clemson, by the way.
Say again?
Clemson, and then Alabama for Ruggs.
I knew the Ruggs one.
Yeah.
They tried to get the ball to Henry Ruggs a few times. They threw the ball to Kenyon Drake a good handful of times.
Bama.
And...
Roll Tide.
The Ravens defense in this game went into overtime, so there's a little extra time, and this game was drunk generally. But Derek Carr threw for 435 yards in this game. Now, that's not the best way to try to figure out mm-hmm. how a quarterback performed in a certain game. That's a pretty, in the grand scheme of things, a pretty shallow information stat to just say, how many yards did you throw for? What was your quarterback rating? Whatever. Derek Carr's QBR was only 50.3, which is sort of incredible.
Feels more right, like watching the game. Like
it does. You
associate, you know, obviously general basic stats. Like if you're like, hey, quarterback threw for 430 yards, your initial thought is going to be, oh, he had a really good game. Watching Derek Carr, you never felt like he was having that good of a game.
No, I think that's a good call.
Not a bad game, just a perfectly average,
just a pretty average game.
Derek Carr
with a ton of stats. A great fantasy game and not that great of a real life game. The interesting thing for me, though, is that the Raiders did that offensively. I love Darren Waller. I think he's excellent. I have
fantastic.
No problem saying that to, you know, theoretically a large audience of Chiefs fans. I think you should appreciate guys like Darren
One
Waller.
One of the three best tight ends in the NFL, if not the top two.
I think three's probably right.
I think we know the top three.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, it's probably, you know, Kittle, Kelsey, Waller. You can move them around, you know, however
yeah.
you think
fit. At this point, I would go Kelsey, Kittle, Waller, I think, if I had to.
I might go Waller over Kittle, but that
that's
also
fine.
Might just be because of the injuries last year, which
totally
is not really fair for, you know,
I mean, like,
just, that's football. You
a reasonable thing to
point
go through.
Being, those are the top three.
And
he's incredible.
And I think that, like, Chiefs fans, to some extent, should appreciate Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. Because he's sort of he's walking through a door that Travis Kelce largely opened.
Yeah.
And I think he's excellent. I think Henry Ruggs is a very fun, very talented player. I think the difference between Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is all pretty much they're in a very similar bucket of talent-wise, which is what it is. I'm not going to talk about running backs today. Actually, I am going to later, but it's because of something at the end of
Different reason.
Totally different reason.
Totally different reason.
But the Chiefs are better than the Raiders. And you know what? If I could hit the pyrotechnic button, I would right now. I think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Derek Carr.
Hold.
Well, there are fireworks going off over the Speedway.
Who had more yards week one?
Derek Carr did. You know, so
question
I mean,
answered.
Yeah, I guess I'm wrong. I just the question for me doesn't even become can the Chiefs punish the Ravens for blitzing?
Yeah.
Because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football against the blitz, unless Tom Brady wants to fight me on that one. And if so, we're doing that thing of splitting hairs between 1-2.
And he has probably the best weapon against the blitz.
Right.
Travis Kelce.
Because Travis Kelce's always open.
We talk about that all the time, just like that connection those two have. And obviously, Tyreek Hill's speed is also a weapon against the blitz because he just doesn't need a lot of time to get open.
To get open,
down
absolutely.
The field, but especially with
a little slant. Are you kidding me?
Especially
good luck.
That connection he has with Kelce. It's beneficial, obviously, throughout the entire game, but especially against the blitz, where you don't have to think. You just, Kelce knows what he's supposed to do in this situation. Mahomes knows what Kelsey's going to do in this situation. And they also know if all of a sudden something changes a little bit, they both know exactly
they're going
how to
change,
adjust.
Yes.
On a snap. Like, just, it is, that relationship is, Patrick Mahomes would be good against the blitz, whoever he was throwing against.
Sure.
He's an elite quarterback. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. It's just with having Travis Kelce, you just see it maximized to this unstoppable level that we've seen so far.
And to me, that's why it goes back to Wink Martindale. It's not a question of can the Chiefs beat the Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of is Wink Martindale going to dare them to?
Going to do it, yeah.
Because the answer is yes to the first question. The Chiefs will absolutely win whenever the Ravens blitz. If not 100% of the time, enough of the time. And we have evidence of that between the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get to Mahomes a time or two. Maybe a ball gets deflected. Right, like things happen.
It's an offensive line that is not perfectly communicative at this point. We'll get to that in a second as well.
And we've even seen, like, again, it happens. This feels like once a decade. But we've seen Mahomes and Kelce be a little off page. It happens once here and there.
But for me, then I'm asking, what does Wink Martindale do? And if you're going to say, well, what should he do? Hey, Josh, tell me, how does Patrick Mahomes get beat defensively? I mean, it's a fair question. I just think at this point, the answer, I was listening to the Ringer NFL podcast a couple days ago, and Dominic Foxworth was on with Kevin Clark, and Kevin basically asked that question. I can't remember if it was Chiefs-specific or just NFL in general on this one, but I thought it was super interesting. I think it might have gotten Chiefs-specific at some point, where Foxworth's answer was basically, let him run the ball, mm-hmm. try to punch the ball out, and then recalibrate when you get to the red zone. Don't give up. And I mean, the Bills kind of almost scraped through this a little bit last year, but not really. Put a bunch of safeties out there, drop everybody in coverage, let them hand it to Clyde, whatever. And again, just try and try and try to punch the ball out. And then in the red zone, the defense gets an advantage back. Mm-hmm. The defenses in the NFL have basically no advantages remaining at this point. One place where they do, though, is in the red zone because the field gets more condensed.
Yeah.
And so it's hard.
You can use the back of the end zone as essentially as defender.
It's another defender. Yeah. Right. You can't
go for 75 when you're on the 15.
Exactly. There's not really any stretching the field from the 15-yard line. So, I mean, I think that's probably the best that I've got.
You know,
and it's better than blitzing him and then letting a 75-yard touchdown happen.
There is no good way, right? Like,
right.
If anybody knew how to stop Patrick Mahomes, you'd be a defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Right.
And you'd probably eventually be a head coach because you'd be paid a lot of money. You know how Seth always talks about, especially like the Chiefs, like their offensive linemen to bleed slowly, essentially, right? To
die a slow death. Yes.
I think that's – I've always kind of viewed it like that's what you almost have to do to the Chiefs' offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because if you make Patrick Mahomes run 12 plays, he's going to make a mistake. Or that the offense is going to mistake, you just have a better chance of one mistake happening in 12 opportunities than you do in two.
Right.
So it's just it is if the Chiefs want to go down the field 10 yards at a time, which they can do, you just kind of have to let them do that in the hopes that somewhere along the line a ball goes off Kelce's finger and is up in the air and you make a play.
Yep.
Or, I mean, like we saw this with obviously Sammy Watkins, you know, in Baltimore now. We saw this with Sammy a handful of times of him catching a ball, going upfield, trying to make a play, and then the ball gets popped
out. Yeah.
You have to view on defense, you have to, as a defensive coordinator, going is if we die, we're dying a slow death on a play because it at least gives us an opportunity to possibly make a play. Unlikely. But possibly make a play. And
sometimes,
especially in the NFL, where so often the difference between the best and the worst team really just is one player.
Yeah.
So often. Like, it's the reason why you don't see a lot of crazy spreads. And even like the beginning of the years, like, I think Vegas had the Chiefs at 12 wins at the top. It's because Vegas never predicts anybody to win 14 or 15 because
right.
that's just
it's
not
hard.
How the NFL. Somebody will.
Right.
NFL, they just. There's just so much parity there. You just have to just try to just make them run as many plays as possible and just hope that you make a play.
Yep.
I think that's really all you can do.
And they're probably going to blitz like 57% of the time tomorrow night, and they're going to lose.
Yeah, that seems likely.
It's just ridiculous. It's all—it's just crazy that we're talking almost this definitively mm-hmm. against a top five team in the AFC at least. It's crazy.
And injuries play a part in that, but also
Absolutely.
It's like – if all three of the running backs were healthy, I don't feel different.
Changes nothing.
Right?
Literally
like,
nothing.
You know, if Ronnie Stanley being hurt changes a bit because obviously he's an incredible left tackle. But also Lamar Jackson's is more than capable of getting away from any pass rusher, you know, and making plays. So it definitely moves the needle. I don't know how much. Marcus Peters, I think, honestly, is the one that moves the needle most. Because, again, you need guys who can make plays if you want to stand a chance. He's the one guy who could potentially bait Patrick Mahomes into an interception, right? Or even in a play where Patrick Mahomes does everything right, he's the type of talent who can still go make a play.
Yep. It's rare and it's difficult, but you got to have a guy that can do something like that. And I don't know if the Ravens have it. There's a lot of sound from this week. I was out at press conferences on Wednesday and Thursday that I want to talk about whenever we come back, because there is there's some pretty good stuff from Patrick Mahomes, Orlando Brown, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Tobe. We'll see how much of it we can get through over the course of today's show as we broadcast live from the Kansas Speedway for the American Royal Barbecue. Some people flooding in right now, and I mean, just the number of people that have walked up to the main stage here and just thrown cash onto the stage, I've really appreciated. So, you know, we should grab an empty guitar case and just set it in front and just see if we can get people to throw some coins in there or something. Don't do that. But do come out to the American Royal Barbecue. There's all sorts of stuff going on right now. I see a sign right now that says free barbecue meal Saturday only, first 5,000 guests. And if we're under that threshold, we might try to make that run.
Not a bad idea.
I might try to make that run over there during the commercial break, because that doesn't sound bad. But there's all sorts of stuff going on. There's still judging categories, all sorts of different competitions. And then also, you can learn about how to be a better barbecuer out here. Stuff for beginners, stuff for kids, stuff for making cocktails. There's all sorts of good stuff out here at the American Royal Barbecue, out here at the Kansas Speedway, out here with Rita Salazar. I am Joshua Briscoe. More Sports Saturday whenever we come back.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday continues here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from a beautiful day at the beautiful Kansas Speedway. I will never forget where we're broadcasting from right now, because I can read it right in front of me. We're looking up at the grandstands from the main stage here, and there's going to be live music starting at 12:15, and we'll get off air here at noon. And, you know, I think, again, going back to the pyrotechnics, is it possible that they're going to be more entertaining, more talented than we are? I mean, it's very hard to say. I have a very hard time seeing that happening. But we were here for the sound check, and the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it's not close.
I've seen sound checks before. I've just never sat in the middle.
Never been in the middle of one? Yeah, that makes sense. But the festivities are going to be continuing on here all day out here at the Kansas Speedway. I almost forgot where we were at. And for the American Royal Barbecue, you can come out here today and you can check out some of the judging. You can get some incredible barbecue. There's all sorts of different places where you can also learn about becoming a better barbecuer, which I think by a transitive property means becoming a better Kansas Cityan. And learn what you need to do to get your barbecue game right. Even stuff like barbecue for beginners, barbecue for kids, how to make a cocktail. That one is titled "Where There's Smoke, There's Cocktails," and I think that is fair in a bunch of directions.
Yeah.
All sorts of awesome stuff out here, including again, just walk out, just walk around, find yourself a plate, and just start moving. You can walk and eat and talk all at the same time, and you will have a wonderful time doing it out here at the American Royal. Let's go to some audio from today. We've been talking about a lot of Chiefs and Ravens stuff so far, and I was out there for the press conferences on Wednesday and Thursday and got to hear a lot of really good stuff from Mahomes, Orlando Brown, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Tobe, and I want to try to bring you as much of that today here as I can. So we'll start with the quarterback, if that's all right with everybody.
Never heard of him.
Patrick, one thing that I thought was interesting. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting is through so much of training camp and through so much of the preseason, whenever we talked to Patrick Mahomes or Orlando Brown Jr., there was a lot of discussion about an offensive line working together for the first time, a quarterback learning about that offensive line, and that offensive line learning the quarterback's tendencies. And so I was curious to hear from Patrick Mahomes on what he thought after getting to look at that tape against the Browns, how he felt about the communication with the offensive line in week one, and also where they can improve as a unit.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the first part of your question, the communication, I thought was really, we did really well, especially, I mean, we were at home, but it was still loud. And so guys got in and out of the huddle. We were able to get the plays, make the checks at the line of scrimmage, and do what we needed to do. And then with the things we can improve on, I got to work on just the depth of my drop. I mean, that's something I've always had to work on, just not fading back too much. Because those guys up front were being firm and they were washing around. So if I can get better at that, I'm sure it'll help everybody.
It's great to hear the communication side of things. Sounds like it's moving along as expected. It's also going to get better and better, both among linemen and with Mahomes. I got a chance to chat with Will Shields, a couple months ago at this point. He talked about the difference between, you know, those dominant offensive lines, the difference between year one and year four or five.
Yeah.
And in year four or five, you could literally, this was his analogy, not mine, you could grunt. And you would know that meant, you know, that you're getting that linebacker there.
Yep.
So that's interesting. Mahomes has talked about the drifting back in the pocket thing since he got into the league, as he mentioned there. And, you know, some of his best work comes whenever he bails out the back of the pocket. But also, whenever you trust your interior offensive line a little bit more, it allows you to step up, which means a little less chaos. And also, if you are Orlando Brown and Lucas Niang specifically in this game, they were washing guys around the back of the pocket pretty successfully. And ultimately, like, you want to be able to take advantage of that. You can use your – if you're a tackle in that spot, you can use the momentum of a guy like Myles Garrett against himself and, to use Mahomes' verb there, wash him around the back of the pocket. It's now all of a sudden Myles Garrett is 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And Patrick Mahomes theoretically steps up and fires there. Sometimes, though, he'll bill backwards, and it runs right into the proverbial line of fire. Orlando Brown Jr., I asked a very similar question to, like, 10 minutes after asking that one to Mahomes, because I wanted to hear his perspective on it as well, the communication amongst the line and also with Mahomes, and where that unit can, again, continue to improve, noting that they're exactly one game in right now to this experiment.
Yeah, there's a ton, personally, for me as an individual to continue to work on fundamentally. But, you know, Pat, me and Pat are always going to communicate, make sure that me and him are on the same page. Me and the offensive line are always on the same page. And just making sure he's as comfortable as possible in the heat of the moment. You know, as a quarterback, it can be tough, you know, when you've got people in your face or you're having to throw off different spots and all those different things. Obviously, he's more than capable of that. But, you know, that's why, you know, I'm here. That's why some of us are here. These new guys are here, man. So he's a lot more comfortable in throwing off of, you know, just one spot specifically. And, you know, we're working on a ton of different things, working and figuring things out. But like I said, man, I just got to play better, flat out.
So, I mean, again, I think it's nice to say you want to be able to have him operate just in one spot, even though, again, he's clearly capable of doing a whole lot of moving in, around, and outside of the pocket. But you want to make – you want to give Mahomes options. You want to make his life as easy as possible. But ultimately, I was talking to Seth this week. He took a closer look at Orlando Brown, and he gave up 4 pressures, which is sort of what Brown was alluding to there in terms of where he has to be better. Seth made the point that all 5 of those pressures came against Myles Garrett, and they were not terribly – one of them was consequential. The rest really weren't. Not exactly the end of the world there. I'm not too worried about Orlando Brown Jr.
Myles Garrett's going to get people.
Yes.
Like, he's going to get this, you know, obviously Orlando Brown Jr. is not, like, necessarily a top 3 left tackle in the NFL right now, but, like, Myles Garrett's going to get top 3 left tackles in the NFL. He's incredible. He is
and
a
he
special,
won plenty
special
of
talent.
Those matchups,
yeah.
Or at least didn't lose them. Again, something else
yep.
Seth mentions all the time,
which is
win percentage is way less important than loss percentage for an offensive lineman,
especially when you have a quarterback like Mahomes. It's
absolutely.
just don't lose, right? Like
yeah.
like he doesn't need a lot. Just don't at the snap of the ball
right.
Have him sprinting, you know, backwards into his right.
Absolutely, and that didn't happen to Orlando Brown. I don't think at all. This is about Orlando Brown, but not necessarily just him as a blocker. Andy Reid had talked quite a bit about, you know, Sammy Watkins being able to match up with Kansas City. Obviously, Orlando Brown Jr. traded to Kansas City from the Ravens this offseason. Andy Reid also mentioned another familiar face in here. But I asked him if there is any extra juice. He's been coaching a lot of players for a lot of years. Is there any extra juice that comes whenever a player is facing an old team for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, they've got Justin Houston too, so I mean, there's a little bit of that going on in this game, of knowing people, so in organizations. But I'm sure he'll be excited. I think when it really comes down to it, though, he's going to focus on his performance and what he needs to do to perform well. So he's very mature guy that way.
I think that plays. I mean, that's more or less what I expected.
Yeah.
I think there's an extra storyline. I think once the game is actually happening, it's probably not all that relevant, you know, once
you're
the ball's actually snapped.
You're so focused on just who's in front of you,
yeah,
right? And just like, hey, I need to keep this guy, you know, Justin Houston or whoever the pass rusher ends up being from just, you know, hitting Mahomes.
Yep. And so I didn't expect much more than that. I thought it was at least worth checking in on to see if Reed had any other sort of similar thoughts. Mm-hmm. At the very least, if there is any advantage or disadvantage, these two teams are pretty evenly matched with Justin Houston and Sammy Watkins playing the Chiefs for the first time. The Chiefs and the Colts didn't play with Houston in Indy, did they? I can't remember.
It feels like they did once.
I kind of feel the same way, but I'm not sure
but
if that's,
I'm not 100%
if that's
sure
correct.
At all.
So, yeah, you know, there we go. Popity's nerfed. We've lost a data point.
Did he come to Kansas City once?
I don't remember.
I think he did.
I don't know.
Nah, I don't
but
know.
We can Google it during the break and come back with a definitive answer.
We'll see.
And maybe we'll forget. One more piece of audio this segment on the offensive side before we'll I want you to hear from Spags here momentarily. But on the offensive side of the ball, Eric Bieniemy talked a little bit about all sorts of things, including how he is where his feet are, also how he is where his feet are, and then also how he is where his feet are in regards to the USC job and if he would be interested in that. And he did mention that he is where his feet are, and that was sort of it in terms of what he was willing to offer on that front.
Did anybody follow up and asking where his feet are at?
No, Nate had a pretty good follow-up that he got a little more out of, but it was mostly Bieniemy talking about where his feet are at.
Got it.
But I asked Bieniemy about something that jumped out to me offensively from the game against the Browns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got like 75% of the team's running back snaps, which is a huge chunk. Mm-hmm. Darrell Williams got a smaller handful of snaps, mostly seeming to be in the obvious passing third down situations. I still think they trust him more as a pass blocker, despite the fact that they have sort of, you know, contended otherwise at some point this offseason and preseason.
So far their actions suggest that they prefer
him as a
pass blocker.
There was like a third and six, third and seven or something where I noticed Clyde out there, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, seems like a lot of Darrell there.
And I'm sure he's much better at it now because he's
sure.
It's just something you learn, but like it seems pretty
really
clear
like
they still
Darryl.
Prefer Darrell Williams as a pass blocker back there.
And Jerick McKinnon, despite a decent amount of offseason hype, I think he ended up with four offensive snaps in this game. So I asked Eric Bieniemy about those splits among the running backs and if that is a sign of things to come, if that's currently kind of the plan for the running backs, or if that was just the effect of what the Browns were showing them.
Well, I think, you know, each game presents a different issue. At that particular time, we felt Clyde was the hot end, so we just allowed Clyde to continue to play. But there's no definitive of role of what we're going to do each and every week. We just want our guys to go out there and play hard and play fast, have a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose, but more important, to be accountable to the next man. That's the things that we worry about more than anything.
Bieniemy's not a head coach yet, but he's got coach speak not completely out at this point. Again, that's more or less kind of what I was expecting to hear from him. The hot hand thing is kind of interesting because Clyde averaged 3.1 yards per carry, which isn't exactly a smoking hot hand. But, I mean, I think that if I had to kind of decode that, I think it would be that he had the potential to become the hot hand, you know, that Clyde's the guy with the highest ceiling of that group, which I think is fair. Like, I don't have any reason to fight that or anything. I also think that it's, you know, I think that's a little funny. And also that I would think we'll see a little more McKinnon. But I'll tell you what, I kind of thought we might see a little bit more LeSean McCoy, and then I thought we might see a little bit more Le'Veon Bell, and so now I think we might see a little more Jerick McKinnon, and I kind of think I might be wrong again.
Sometimes
I don't
it just
know.
Doesn't happen. My guess is there'll be like a Jerick McKinnon game, and maybe
probably.
And maybe that game is really just like one play, like the LeSean McCoy game is just Travis Kelce pitching him the football, right? Like,
So I don't know. Something to keep an eye on more than something to freak out about, but. I wanted to check in on that from Bieniemy, and you know, he as agile as ever as a former running back, still very good at avoiding contact, even when that contact comes in the form of a press conference question. We are broadcasting live here from the Kansas Speedway for the American Royal Barbecue. There are people filing in right now. Come get out here and enjoy some of the best barbecue you're ever going to find. And the other festivities, including, you know, different ways that can make you a better barbecuer and also, as I've said before, better Kansas City. And I'm Joshua Briscoe out here with Rudy Salazar. We'll take a break and come back with our last segment of today's edition of Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A little more Sports Saturday out here live from the Kansas Speedway for the American Royal Barbecue. I've seen a couple people walk by with big buckets of cherry limeade. They might go on a hunt after the show's over. I love a cherry limeade. I especially love a cherry limeade whenever it's in a bucket that you could just sit a baby in, you know? That's the – hey, what size of cherry limeade would you like? I don't know. Infant? You mean like four infant? No, I'd like to be able to fit an infant in that receptacle. That is the size of cherry limeade I would like, please. There you go. I didn't even – there's some sitting right in front of us. Those are infant-sized cherry limeades. And that's, you know, that's the magic of the American Royal Barbecue, is that there's just cherry limeades that, you know, you could, there's a big, dumpster over there.
Yeah, trash can.
If you filled that with cherry limeade, gave me a straw, I'm cleaning it out first. I'd think about it, you know? I'm Joshua Briscoe, that's Rudy Salazar, Marco Marquez back at the station, and, again, a little more time here, but plenty of time for you to get out here to the American Royal Barbecue. Tons of amazing food. Enormous cherry limeades, and really beautiful weather out here as mm-hmm. well. Plus, if you haven't had an excuse to come out and just be on the infield here at the Kansas Speedway, it's very cool, especially once you get out to the outer rim of it a little bit and you can see the grandstands and everything. It's a pretty neat experience out here that I would suggest you come and check out. Plus, lots of great, again, the food, lots of great programs, all sorts of things you can enjoy out here. We're going to keep getting you ready for Chiefs and Ravens, and I got a couple of snippets here from Steve Spagnuolo. One question that I asked him, and then one from our dear friend Matt Derrick that I thought was pretty insightful as well. But obviously Tyrann Mathieu back for this game after missing week one, and there's been a lot of talk about the value of Tyrann Mathieu, and I wanted to hear from Spags himself, is there a player that he has had in his coaching career who has had as big of an impact on the day-to-day basis that and on the field on game day, especially, if there's anyone he's ever coached has had as big of an impact as Tyrann Mathieu?
The only one that just jumped in my head was Antonio Pierce in New York, the Mike linebacker. I mean, he ran the whole show. I'd say it's similar for us with Anthony Hitchens. Because those guys that make the other 10 better because they're lining them up, those guys are so valuable. And when you're putting somebody else in there that hasn't done it in a while, it's kind of off, you know. But I thought the guys that went in there did a pretty good job.
Also agree that the guys that stepped in did do a good job, mm-hmm. especially in that second half against the Browns. But thought it was interesting that, you know, not only mentioning that in terms of Mathieu and saying Antonio Pierce is the guy that sort of stands up there, but also mentioning Anthony Hitchens, I think is kind of intriguing because whenever they drafted Nick Bolton, it felt like a foregone conclusion that he was going to be around to be the Anthony Hitchens yeah. replacement. And I wonder if we get to next offseason, if Spags might have an extra vote in favor of, hey, let's keep paying Anthony Hitchens because he does so much for this defense.
I always enjoy hearing, too, like, just a name from, like, the 2000s, like Antonio
yes.
Pierce. Just like, yeah, you remember that guy?
I bet he was, like, in NFL Street. Like, that's what I want to find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feels like a perfect NFL
yeah,
Street
yeah,
player.
Yeah, he had to have been. Linebacker-fullback duo. Wrecking ball.
I'm gonna play NFL Street so bad right now. Every time I mention it, I forget. It's just such a perfect game.
Such an important part of your life.
And also that. One more thing here from Spags, a question from our friend Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Matt asked about how the Chiefs defense is going to defend the Ravens on Sunday night, noting the fact that they've lost so many weapons and pieces on that offense.
Well, to be quite honest with you, we're defending the scheme. This is our feeling. Whoever they put there back at running back is going to be a good running back. And whatever old line they put together is going to be a good old line. That's just how we approach it. John Harbaugh does as good a job as anybody when they're injured, you know, when they're coming off a tough week, of getting his team ready to play. I expect that in this game. So we're not taking anything for granted. Those aren't, you know, we don't see weaknesses there. We just see a way of them getting grittier.
We see a way of them getting grittier is very funny. But I thought the most interesting part of that was him saying, hey, we're not really defending the individual players. We are defending the scheme. And I have to think that Spags is not alone in that regard. That is something that has to be pretty consistent throughout the rest of the NFL. We don't really think of it that way. We think about how do you defend Lamar Jackson? How do you defend Sammy Watkins or J.K. Dobbins? And the answer is, well, we're just going to defend what they do. Mm-hmm. Whoever does it isn't quite as important. I just think that's super interesting. Also, Spag says running backs don't matter. I just want to make sure everyone heard that. That's not totally fair. But in the case of the Ravens, having a running scheme that is as good as theirs is.
Yeah. It's built around – it's not that's built around the scheme and not the players itself. You can – and, you know, he's not fully saying you can just throw anybody back there, but right. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And some of that, too, is just, like, trusting, like, the Ravens have just shown the ability to put multiple guys back there and have success. So even, you know, I think it's Tyshawn Williams, is their running back's name.
Yep.
The undrafted guys, like, they know that you can – they can throw
– He's going to be good back there. He's already been good back there.
If they think he's somebody who can run the system, yeah, he probably can.
Yeah. We don't need to worry about the Dave Tobe audio that we've got because we're running out of time here today. But I'll summarize it this way. None of the return guys really separated themselves. They didn't have a ton of options to return the ball all that often, so that's, you know, fair point there. He did mention that Mecole Hardman did, in fact, wear Tyreek Hill's helmet on that punt return.
Tyreek has a big head, apparently.
That's
what Mecole said.
Mecole Hardman said that as well. I don't want that to be a huge, huge thing that ends up following Mecole Hardman throughout the rest of this season, but it's not what you want necessarily. Rudy, really quick, how do you feel about this game? I know you already gave your prediction on the 8-10 video.
Yeah, I totally remember what score I gave.
It was Chiefs by double digits.
Yeah, 31-21, I think.
I think it might have been 31-20. I think you might have said something like that.
31-20, I think is what I want. Like, yeah, I feel good. I think the Chiefs will win this game pretty comfortably. Lamar Jackson won't make plays because that's what he does.
Yep.
I think it's a pretty comfortable win.
I think Lamar Jackson's still somehow underrated as a passer, but I also think this is a must-dominate game for Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I think the Chiefs also win this game relatively comfortably, which is crazy. You can hear more of that all day tomorrow here on Sports Radio 810. We're broadcasting live from the Kansas Speedway for the American Royal Barbecue. Get out here. Come eat some barbecue. Get a giant cherry limeade and enjoy all the festivities of the American Royal Barbecue here at Kansas Speedway. This has been Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.